Welcome back, everyone, to another week of Racecast. And I pulled away from my mic a little bit there because I realised that when I say that at the beginning of every episode, it's kind of it's a bit loud and distorted. So I feel like it's a bit of a jump scare for everyone. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, I did. When I'm doing the edits, I notice a bit of like a higher pitch.
Yeah, so, you know, we're always trying to improve here at Racecast. But how is everyone? I hope you've had a good week. Obviously, it's largely uneventful in the actual race scene, but trust me, we have plenty to talk about, so make sure you stick around. If you are listening to us on any form of audio platform, which you physically have to be right now, do give us a 5-star rating, whatever you do. It really does massively help us out. If you do follow us on social media, thank you. If you don't, here's how you can. You can go to Instagram and search Racecast Insta.
Yep.
You can go to TikTok and search Racecast Clips. You can go to Twitter, or X, depends how old you are, and search Racecast Tweets. But yeah, that is all for now. Definitely get involved. We do a lot on social now. We are actually, we're fucking consistent. Sorry for the swear word.
We are active.
Yeah, we are very active now. And we plan to continue this. I feel like we're on a steam train now.
I worked out it's 4 weeks now. We've posted a clip every single day.
Yeah, you see, that, my friends, is consistency. And that is what we are all about here. Good week?
It's been all right. Yeah, it's been all right. Work. One thing I do have to say, though, just going back to what you're saying about TikTok, we were touching on this before the podcast. We do get a lot of comments. And initially, our comments used to be quite... You know,
TikTok can be a cruel place.
Yeah, they weren't. You weren't a massive fan of them initially, were you?
No. And every now and then, I'm still not. I mean, this is.
Oh, that guy wound me up the other day.
Yeah. So you weren't very happy with someone the other day. Here's the thing, right? It doesn't matter how big the creator is, right? And, you know, on the grand scale of, I guess the scale of creator. Economics, so like we are right down the lower end, right? But I guess I can look through Waffling, for example, which is much, 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 much bigger than I am. But like I look at the comments, and I know the boys look at the comments, and creators do look through the comments, whether it's on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. And obviously, we read stuff and it pisses you off, especially in like something like F1 where opinions are so contestable.
Yeah.
But I feel like the thing with TikTok is that a lot of it isn't... I don't know if you noticed at the end of my video where I said, where I was talking about Lewis potentially being sabotaged by Mercedes. Go check it out if you haven't. We're not going to go into that topic, don't worry. But I said at the end, like, don't just come and insult me. Just put something constructive. Like, if you disagree... That is amazing, right? I don't think everyone should think like me. I don't think everyone should think like the next person. Yeah. It's great that everyone's got their own opinions. It fucking rattles me when people come on and they're just like, oh my God, they just give anyone a mic nowadays, don't they? Like, oh, do your research. It's like, fuck off. Like, what does that mean? Like, don't just come here and insult us.
I think the best insults which people think, you know, really upset us is, oh, Drive to Survive fans.
Yeah, and it's just like...
We are a Drive to Survive fans. We like the programme. It doesn't mean we only got into F1 because of Drive to Survive.
And I still stand by this, right? I literally have no idea why that is an issue anyway.
No.
Well, it's like that analogy of like, oh, you can only support a football team because you're from there.
Yeah.
And you'll speak to someone who's from fucking Salford and they'll support Manchester United. And it's like, well, why don't you support Salford? But I'm from Seaford. I'm not going to support Seaford Town.
Can I tell you a funny story from yesterday at the football?
Yeah.
So they're talking, the presenter was talking to the mascots, and obviously you have the Brighton mascots and then you had a Man City mascot. And they were like, oh, you know, here's our Man City mascot and travelled all the way from Goring. And they're like, this poor kid got absolutely rinsed because they were like going, you know, there's always that trend of like, you're a Man United fan, but no one actually comes from Manchester to, you know. So this poor kid was sitting there waving at camera. It was like all over the TV and everything. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he travelled this way from Goring.
Everyone boo him.
It's just like, well, he's not really from Manchester, is he? Anyway. But anyway.
But that's my point on the Drive to Survive thing, right? If you're an F1 fan and you came from Drive to Survive,
like, not a bad thing.
Brilliant. That's quality. When did it first come out? 2016, 2017?
It's been around a long time.
You probably know more than 99% of the idiots that comment on TikTok. So. But we, like I said, like, we genuinely love the engagement and people getting involved in TikTok. But I did have one earlier this week. And it got to me a little bit, you know?
Is your screensaver Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah, driving the Senna's McLaren.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice, actually. There's a Twitter page called F1 Wallpapers.
Yeah, they change all their...
Banging. I regularly update my wallpaper on my phone. And it is always from that page. But this thing on TikTok that really got to me, and it got to me for a number of reasons. Now, it was the video that we did where essentially I said... Lando has a problem.
I think it's up the top, mate, because it's in the top pinned.
Is it pinned? Okay. Lando, he's got something wrong with him. might have to cut this bit just as I find it.
The thing is, it's funny now because normally in previous clips we'd have like one comment. So now it takes a bit longer because we're getting a bit more engagement, which is great. So obviously Luke is very much useless for waffling. Oh.
No, it was a conversation that you got into.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw it. Okay. So the basis of the video was essentially where we're talking about Lando having a problem starting from pole position, right? This is factual. This is backed by actual facts, right?
Science.
I'm not saying that Lando is a bad driver or cannot drive. I'm saying that factually there is something wrong with him when he starts... from pole position.
Yeah.
You cannot deny that. This comment comes in and says, bruh. I don't know why. Please do your research. Fans need to actually take a knowledge test before they start F1 accounts or podcasts. You don't, because we've got one and we haven't taken that. Also, since when is that? Like, you should have to take a knowledge test to be able to comment on our videos. Because... what I'm about to say is about to prove me right, so shut up and listen. They already addressed that the McLaren current spec is essentially horrific in wet. Well, how come they absolutely dominated in Hungary? Oscar Piastri won that race. How come they should have won in Silverstone? That was wet.
What I struggled with this comment was that was not even relevant to what we were saying. We're saying throughout the year he hasn't been good on... his starts, but yeah, he's that... going, yeah, it's because the car's not getting wet. Okay, what about all the dry tracks?
Yeah.
What's your argument?
So you obviously then commented and you said, what about the other races in the dry? He says, that's a question for you to research. I took that personally. Because I was thinking, like, unless I've just completely made up history in my head here, he's been terrible when starting from pole in both wet and dry. Okay. So, I just did some research, and basically, right, there has been, I think, 7 wet races, or 7 weekends that have been affected by rain, right?
Yeah.
The Chinese Grand Prix, the sprint qualifying session was held in wet conditions. Lando secured pole ahead of Lewis Hamilton. Okay. Where did he finish in that race? I think he finished 2nd. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
We then had the British Grand Prix, which obviously George Russell claimed pole position. Lando Norris qualified 3rd, but I think it was quite clear to everyone that on that day, Lando Norris should have won.
Yep.
The Belgian Grand Prix, the McLaren didn't really seem to click there. That was obviously affected by wet weather. Qualified 6th and finished 6th. The Hungarian Grand Prix, Lando Norris secured pole position and he finished the race 2nd. Obviously, there was some controversy in that race and he actually probably could have won it, but I still stand by the fact he wouldn't have won that on merit. Brazilian Grand Prix, Lando Norris secured pole position. He won the sprint race. Because he got given the position by the team. He then finished sixth in the race. So
just going back to China, he didn't start on pole for proper qualifying.
No, for the sprint.
For the sprint, but he did win that race.
Okay, he won it. But yeah. he didn't hold it after lap one.
Yeah.
He was not first. He was second.
Yeah.
So this is our point. Like, we do our research. We do know.
We get a few things wrong. We're human.
And something like that, everyone knows. I was thinking, how is that the one thing that we've said Lando, for some reason, is really bad at starting in pole position. I did not think that would be something that someone would argue with us about.
And then come back and go, do your research.
Yeah.
And then you ask him a question and he comes back and says, you need to do the research. Well, hang on, no, I'm asking you a question.
Yeah, like, you must have done it yourself, sir. Why don't you give it to us?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you again for all your comments. It is very much appreciated. So, no race now for what, another 2 weekends.
Yeah.
So let's get into a bit of news. Let's touch on Toto Wolff. He's been very, very public. Obviously, he was on the High Performance podcast.
With Jake Humphries.
Jake Humphries. Yeah. And there's a few comments through that, which have now obviously come out into the press, which I thought we can discuss.
And there's also a Mercedes book.
Mercedes book has come out. A lot of quotes. Actually, funny enough, posted a TikTok this evening about it.
Yep.
And there's a lot of quotes and a lot of, you know, I think photos throughout the years and just the history of Mercedes. So seems quite good. But there's been a few quotes which we have discussed. So Toto Wolff. Said he was unexpected. He had an unexpected tip from Carlos Sainz Sr. So Toto Wolff revealed that he first heard about Hamilton's move from an unexpected source who tipped him off before the official announcement. Carlos Sainz Sr. apparently told him.
All I'm going to say, right, just interjecting here, I will let you finish that. This doesn't add up because I swear we've heard this story previously and Carlos Sainz Sr. was never mentioned.
Yeah. So he goes on to say, when Wolff reached out to Ferrari's Fred Vasseur for confirmation, he received no reply, a rare and telling silence that hinted a sensitivity of the transfer. I mean, the direct quote that came from him, he said, the old man Sainz called me and said that this is what's happening. I sent a text to Fred Vasseur saying, you're taking our driver, ? I didn't get any response. Very unusual from Fred. And it's a bit of a weird one at the moment because, as we know, Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari next year. Three races left with Mercedes. And there's a few comments that are coming out from Toto Wolff that I get the impression that he is...
salty.
A bit salty because...
Toto is salty. We can accept that.
Yeah. And if... I can't imagine Carlos Sainz Sr. Well, I don't know, really. You know that your son's going to be booted out. Would you be that petty and go, look, Toto, just so you're aware...
Well, unless he was trying to, like, you know, sort of tap him up to give him the seat.
Potentially, yeah. I mean...
It's a strange one. But I'm sure Toto's told this story before. And he said Lewis told him and he was shocked.
Well, the story I heard was that Lewis Hamilton went round to his house.
Yeah.
They were having breakfast and Lewis said, look, I'm gonna leave. I'm going to go to Ferrari. Because the next part of it is that as soon as that happened and Lewis left, Toto Wolff rang George Russell and said, oh, you never know, never believe what's just happened. But there's all these stories that are coming out. Because do you remember when Antonelli got announced?
Yeah.
They were telling that story then about when, you know, Lewis had told them. It doesn't add up to me because I feel like, I don't know if Toto is just trying to cause a bit of
a bit of a stir
because, you know, we know Lewis Hamilton is unhappy now. He's at this point, this car is his car and he's ready to go. And the next story, which I want to touch on, we'll kind of touch on what I'm going to finish off with here, is actually, I don't think Toto Wolff likes the fact that he didn't have control of when Lewis Hamilton left his team.
100%. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think, firstly, he didn't like that he didn't have the control, right? And secondly, he does not like that he's going to Ferrari. You know, it's a huge career move. And I think also, the final point is it really does show that Lewis has no faith in that car. And I know that Lewis has come out and said that quote previously, I think literally this week, that like he's still in love with Mercedes. He still like believes in the team. It's not that he's lost faith. It was just,
but his move is for him.
Yeah, but I think on he's never going to publicly come out and be like, I've completely lost faith in my team, because I feel like the sort of respect that he has for other human beings and like, you know, he's always very decent.
Yeah.
He would never publicly come out and slate that team and say, I've lost faith in them, because I think he would know how that would affect them. But I think you can see it in the way that he speaks over the radio, after races, during races, in the media pen and stuff like that. You can tell he's lost confidence in the team. And you can't blame him. No. Like, you know, they've had 3 years of this new era of cars. Not new anymore.
And it's been a stinker.
And it's been awful. And, you know, they've essentially just become Experiment FC. I saw a tweet earlier today saying Mercedes will be running experiments for the W16 in the last three races. And okay, I know a lot of teams are like gearing up to this and stuff, but it's like, you don't even understand the W15. You never understood the W14. You certainly never understood the W13. Mm. So it's like, for me, if I was Lewis, I'd just be thinking, yeah, we're much of the same next season.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Wolff has stated that, oh, it helps us avoid that difficult conversation with Lewis Hamilton. So basically he's hinting that actually, oh, actually, you know, by Lewis going to Ferrari, it benefits us.
It means we don't have to sack him.
Yeah. And let's just clarify this, okay? And I like Toto Wolff. I've been a Mercedes fan, you know, since Lewis has been there. I'm a Lewis fan by heart. That's why who I follow. But let's just get this. Let's be real here. It's not about telling Lewis when you're going to stop. The fact is, you just don't like the fact that Lewis Hamilton, after all his success he's had with you, says, do you know what, I don't want to be here. And what you don't like the most is that he's gone to one of your biggest rivals.
Yeah.
That is what it comes down to. And let's just say this, okay. Toto Wolff is worrying and keeps coming on and being salty about Lewis Hamilton here. Your main worry is trying to work out what the hell is wrong with your car. Because you can't tell me that your biggest worry is, and he made another comment, didn't he, about, oh, also, the reason why we put him on a 1+1 year contract is because, you know, mentally, cognitive
decline or cognitive sharpness.
Yeah. What a load of bollocks. The fact is, right, you need to focus on actually fixing that car and working out what is wrong with it. And that needs to start by the actual technical team and not your drivers. Your driver can do the job, right? Let's be real.
Oh, and this is probably what pisses him off even more. If he knows that if he had given Lewis a car that was capable of winning a championship over the last three seasons, Mercedes might have more constructors and drivers' championships under their belt. And we've discussed this before. George Russell, brilliant driver. Not on the level of Lewis Hamilton.
No.
You know, let's talk real here. Whether he ever gets to that sort of stage, I don't think anyone will. You know, Lewis falls into that very exclusive bracket where we sort of put top drivers. And Toto knows that they're rare to come by. I mean, you look at the drivers we've had over the years. They come very sparingly. Seb, Lewis, Max, Fernando, Schumacher. You know, these types of driver, these caliber of drivers just don't come very often.
Like we've said before, you've got the elite.
Yeah.
And then you've got the good drivers.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. And I really just don't know what Toto is trying to achieve with this, because it's only going to shoot himself in the foot, because I guarantee there's no F1 fan out there who's going to sit there and go, oh yeah, Toto's absolutely right here. Lewis has completely lost it. However, we will get onto a conversation later about another celebrity who's come out and spoken about Lewis Hamilton, but we'll get onto that in a bit. One of the other comments...
Can I just mention this thing on Lewis and his cognitive sharpness?
Yep.
He's got the second quickest reaction time of all F1 drivers on the grid this season.
He's passed him.
He's lost it, mate.
Yeah. This is another thing that Toto Wolff has said. You know, he's surprised at the timing. Wolff shared his surprise at Hamilton's choice to move before knowing Mercedes' 2024 performance. Well, he obviously He wasn't wrong, was he?
Yeah, it was easy to predict. And, you know, not everyone is as blindly delusional as I am and thinks that every upgrade is going to work.
And this next part is another thing where he contradicts himself in the sense of he goes, it left Mercedes with limited options for securing a strong replacement. He noted the impact of potential negotiations with top drivers like Charles Leclerc and Lando Norris, who had recently signed contracts with other teams. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when they announced Kimi Antonelli, Toto Wolff literally said, as soon as Lewis told me that he was leaving, my first choice was always Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah, there's so many inconsistencies in the things that he's saying, whether it's how he found out about Lewis, whether it's, you know, who was replacing Lewis. And there's another, in my opinion, there's another element to that argument. Oh, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, the story is not straight, mate. Like, yeah. At least stick to one. Like, write it down so you can remember it. Does he really think that Mercedes have the pull power that they once did? If you're Lando Norris or Charles Leclerc and Mercedes come knocking, yeah, I'd be looking through the peephole and being like, I'm not fucking answering that. Mm. No chance, because they clearly do not understand this era of cars.
Yeah.
Right? McLaren 100% have cracked this car now in this generation. Ferrari have shown us that they're always there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Right? Mercedes are consistently at a loss with what the hell is going on with their car. And they've shown zero promise over the last 3 years. There's no way that Lando would leave McLaren for Mercedes at this point, because it would be mental. So I don't know if he thinks it's like 2019 or something, but those drivers are not going to be interested. And maybe that's why he had to go for Kimi Antonelli, because who else goes there? Carlos Sainz, for me, was the obvious choice.
I'm really surprised they didn't go with him. I really am. I think what Carlos Sainz has shown still this year, he's been quality, and it didn't make any sense. I appreciate Kimi Antonelli coming in is great, but that's a risk in itself.
Yeah.
But Carlos Sainz, you know what type of caliber driver you've got there.
I think for them, they also had to look at that essentially just becomes a straight swap, and then it kind of looks like how it looks like is then, oh, Ferrari have poached our driver and we're just getting the hand-me-down.
Yeah.
No. So I do understand the Kimi Antonelli appointment, right? I'm not saying I would necessarily do it if I was in Toto's position, but I do completely get it. But again, we won't go into the topic of Sainz deserving a top team, but he does. But fundamentally, the point is that the best drivers on the grid or the best drivers around are not going to be looking at Mercedes as an attractive option anymore.
You know, I know there was talks of, you know, Max Verstappen potentially going to Mercedes earlier in the year. That didn't materialise. But
obviously,
I do think if you're Toto Wolff, you know, you don't need to worry about your drivers doing what they need to do. You could have given Lewis Hamilton another 3 or 4 year contract, which he deserved, and he would have still done a job. What you needed to worry about is what the hell is going on with your team.
Yeah.
And how is your car so inconsistent week in, week out? Because you look at the Ferraris, yes, okay, they have their down days, their down weekends and stuff, but on a whole, they're relatively consistent throughout the year. Red Bull, consistent. McLaren seem consistent. But Mercedes, week in, week out. I mean, you talk about, you know, cognitive sharpness. Lewis Hamilton took that car to P1 in Silverstone, when that should never have been anywhere near the top step.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, some crazy things have happened this season. You know, even the pair of them in Spa.
Yeah.
He's focusing on the wrong things. And I feel like, again, it's classic. Lewis Hamilton always gets talked about, right? We're sitting here doing it. Toto Wolff, all his focus should be on that car right now. And I feel like ultimately he knows that losing Lewis Hamilton is the worst thing that could have happened to Mercedes.
Yeah. Look, Mercedes, And I don't know if you guys agree with me here. Mercedes are a big team.
Yeah.
Okay. But Lewis Hamilton is bigger.
Okay.
When you're looking at Mercedes, you don't go, oh yeah, George Russell. You go Lewis Hamilton.
I don't think anyone thinks that, like, you know, I think other than Ferrari, yeah, Lewis is bigger than everyone in F1.
And I'm not saying, but when you're looking at it, you associate Mercedes with Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
You don't associate Mercedes as their own team. You go, oh yeah, well, Lewis Hamilton drives for them. You know, the success...
He put them on the map.
Yeah. The success is all down to Lewis Hamilton. And don't get me wrong, the team and Toto Wolff and what they built there and the success, the constructors, the drivers' championships. Mm-hmm. But without Lewis Hamilton, they wouldn't be where they are. And then I think what is worrying Toto Wolff is as soon as that Lewis Hamilton goes, they lose a lot of...
Not only do you lose the greatest ever driver,
yeah,
you lose a huge amount of sponsorship. You lose a huge amount of revenue from fans. You fundamentally lose a huge amount of fans because you best believe I'm wearing red next season. Yeah. You know, I'm not a Mercedes fan. I'm not. I support Mercedes because Lewis is there, and that means I want them to do really well. I'm a Lewis fan, right? If he decides after Ferrari he's going to Haas, I'm a Haas fan. Like that, and that is it. And A lot of Mercedes fans will be following Lewis Hamilton across to Ferrari.
100%.
And that is why we believe Toto Wolff is salty.
And it's a shame, isn't it? Because I have a lot of respect for Mercedes. I have a lot of respect for Toto Wolff. But this type of stuff is starting to make me a bit go, oh, come on now, it's just a bit... You're making yourself look stupid. And you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't need to go down this road of trying to tarnish, you know, Lewis Hamilton's reputation. You don't need to do it. But you're just making yourself look stupid. And you're seeing that in the comments. Because even when this was coming out, people were going, God, you know, he's a bit salty, isn't he? Or this is a bit petty. He's looking a bit stupid.
It seemed it. I mean, especially when he was talking about the cognitive sharpness and... Yeah, it was a strange one. I don't understand it.
Answer me this, all right? You're Toto Wolff, and you've got an option
I'm
here.
Rich.
You're rich. You're living at large. You've got an option where they come to you and go, okay, you've got to get rid of one driver. You don't know about Lewis going to Ferrari. You don't know about everything, but you've got to get rid of one driver. So we've got to give someone a 3-year contract, but we've got to get rid of one of the other drivers. We want to bring in Antonelli. You've got an option between Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. I know you're a Lewis fan but realistically... If you're in that situation, who are you picking?
Lewis. And that's... That's got nothing to do with the Lewis fan inside me. Is that not just a basic answer? Like, how far ahead can you really look in F1? Because Kimi Antonelli might not be at the level that he needs to be for another 2 or 3 seasons. That's a long time in F1. Mm. A lot of drivers get one season. Some of them don't even get that.
Yeah.
And I think Lewis Hamilton has shown absolutely nothing to suggest that he's not the driver that he once was. I feel like, okay, you could argue the qualifying thing. There is an issue around that, but we also are aware of how tricky this Mercedes apparently is, and... But I'm not going to make excuses there because I've stated many times I hate the excuse game when it comes to this qualifying thing of like, oh, the setups were different. Like, I don't like that personally. But I think you give him a car that is capable of racing and winning, he will go for it. I think when he's actually put in those positions where he needs to be competitive, he takes it up to a different level.
Yeah.
And I think we saw some of that in... 2023, you know, when Mercedes had, because that car did start pushing in the right direction, you know, you saw in Kota, I know it got disqualified for the floor and everything, but it was there where he really started actually stepping up a gear, and that is what separates, you know, the greats from the all-time greats. And and you hear it, you even see it from Max, you know, when he's starting like so far back and he doesn't care, but he just gets on, he cuts through. But that Red Bull is much more capable of doing that. But then all of a sudden you put Max head-to-head with someone, bang, he's a fighter, he's a killer. So, yeah, I'd be taking Lewis Hamilton and having Antonelli next to him. I don't think that's the most controversial thing in the world. I would also understand the flip argument of why I'd take George Russell. But I would hope that the argument there is not because you think he's better, but because he's younger.
Yeah.
And you know, his career trajectory should be going upwards. And you're right, Lewis at this point should be plateauing or sort of coming down.
Yeah, do let us know. Just finishing off on Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton is past his prime. That's what Jeremy Clarkson has said.
Now, Jeremy Clarkson gets a lot of things right, I think. He's quite a good guy. Well, to some people hate him. But I like Jezza. This, incorrect.
Yeah. Following Hamilton's underwhelming qualifying session in Brazil, Jeremy Clarkson claimed that Hamilton's form has declined, suggesting that he may be past his prime. Clarkson pointed out that Hamilton struggled while his younger teammate George Russell managed to qualify on the front row, hinting that age may impact in Hamilton's performance. Jeremy Clarkson said he blamed his car for his tail end qualifying session, but his teammate George Russell was in the front row. Of course, it's possible that's because Lewis is moving to Ferrari next year. The team are filling his fuel tank with lemon barley water instead of petrol.
You see.
I mean, that's good. But that seems unlikely. It's far more probable that he's now too old. Look, I think...
Why is he too old, but Alonso isn't?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. The real tell will be next year when he goes to Ferrari. If we're sitting here in a year's time going, okay, Lewis is still really bad at qualifying and he's had a shocker in his first season, then we can have that discussion that he might be past it.
And I think you and I will be the first people to sit here and be like, Lewis is past it. And that's absolutely fine. You know, he's had the best career of all careers.
Yeah. I'm confident he's not past it. Yes, from what I've seen still. I've seen glimmers of pure class from him this year still.
I will bet money next season, and I will do this, and I'll prove it with a photo on Instagram when next season comes. I will put money on Lewis finishing ahead of Charles Leclerc in the driver's standings.
Mm. It's got to be... firstly, let us know at home. Is Lewis Hamilton past it? Do comment. It's got to be quite difficult, isn't it? Because... you said right at the beginning of the season, you're leaving. You know, look, I want to leave the Mercedes. I'm going to go to Ferrari next year. Okay, well, there is some element of that. Actually, the team will treat you differently. They'll be quite secretive in what information they give you. They may not trial as much of certain specs on the car because they don't want to share that information.
George had upgrades in Brazil. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. So there is elements of... it must be quite, Lewis Hamilton's getting paid ridiculous amounts of money, but it must be quite uncomfortable with being in a team knowing that you're leaving. No one's really sharing any further information with you about the 2025 spec. So you're kind of going in each day going, hi, what do you want me to do today? If you could just go and paint the rear wing, you know, and we'll just.
And that is also the thing. So this is where I think, as we come into this classic experimental phase, is it a case of now the team are actually choosing what setup to run on Lewis's car in order for them to gather data for next season? Now, I will reiterate that I really hate the point of, oh, Lewis is only underperforming because of the setup. I think that sometimes he has just been poor in qualifying. I feel like race day, he's still generally very, very good.
Yeah.
But that is entirely possible. And that's why when I put that TikTok out the other day, that's what I was just trying to gauge. Like, it would make sense. Maybe it's not sabotage. Maybe sabotage is the wrong word. But it's entirely possible that they are just using his car to experiment to the absolute max so they understand it better next year.
These cars aren't matched. They're really not matched week in, week out.
There's no way that Brazil was a match.
So that is basically all the Mercedes, and if you're welcome along to the Mercedes podcast, that seems to what it be. I've got a
speech impediment.
Yeah. This one may get me some hate. Okay.
That would be unusual.
Yeah. Is Lance Stroll underrated? And I want you to hear me out, okay?
Underrated would suggest that anyone rates him.
Hear me out. So, from what it seems from the outside, Lance Stroll just hates the sport. He turns up week in, week out. He's like, right, just, yeah, get me out there, whatever. He looks like he doesn't really care. You see it in interviews. He's kind of like laid back. He's like, yeah, it's all right. Just drove around a bit. He looks like he just doesn't care. With this amount, you know, and what he does, you kind of think that actually, if he's like this and he's reasonably good like this now, okay, he's still a good driver. If he actually cared and put in the effort, he could actually be a pretty good driver.
I think we've seen a decline in Stroll's enthusiasm for the sport in the last couple of years. Well, you say that, you know, you came back last season, it was on top of the world. I think the decline in Aston Martin performance hasn't helped him out, but I think he's... No, I think that's a terrible take. I don't think it's due to... Even if it is, and I completely agree, he looks like he just is kind of turning up because he has to. Even if he wasn't, and he was bang up for it, I don't think he'd be any better. You know, like I said, he's had bags of enthusiasm for the sport. Okay, not bags. I don't think he's ever been someone that sort of like pranced through the paddock. But, you know, he's had some decent cars to drive. You know, that Racing Point wasn't a bad car, particularly in 2020.
And he wasn't awful, though, at that point.
No, he wasn't awful, but my point is he's never been a driver that you've looked at and you've been like, oh, there's something here.
Yeah.
You know, like, he could... You know, I mean, you can even look at Colapinto, right? He's coming out of nowhere. I know, from F2. Got this seat from Logan Sargeant. Everyone was like, what the hell? Colapinto? Why? And now people are like, Jesus Christ, like, he's a serious driver. No one's ever said that about Lance Stroll. And Lance Stroll's had a great F1 career in terms of longevity. I can't for the life of me work out why. It might have something to do with the fact that his dad owns the team that he races for. But, yeah, I think now, I say he's collecting his paycheck. I don't even know if he's getting paid. Surely he's just got, like, his dad's card.
Do you know what? The reason why it made me laugh, so I'm just trying to find reasons why Lance Stroll
drove into the gravel.
I'm just trying to help him out here. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to support him. I just had image. There was clips. There was a clip of race day in Brazil, and there was this caption of Lawrence Stroll going into Lance Stroll's bedroom, saying, "Come on, get out there. You know, let's go." No, I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go. Get out there. No, I don't want to go. And then in retaliations, he was like, "Right. My dad's really pissed me off now. I'm going to drive into the gravel."
To be fair, that is one thing we've never considered, right? What if being an F1 driver is Lawrence Stroll's dream and he's just living it vicariously through Lance? Lance, actually, he wants to be a bus driver. That's what he wants. That's what he dreamed to do. But Lawrence Stroll said, no, buddy. You're going to be an F1 driver. I'm going to make it happen. He's like, Dad, I really just want to drive the buses. He goes out and buys a team. He can't say no now. He's like, fucking hell, he's done that. Right, so now, just he's spent like 7 years or whatever it is, 5 years in prison, driving this car week in, week out, flying. He hates flying. All around the world, every single week. And now he's just at breaking point. He's like, right, fuck it. I'm just going to drive the car into the mud every week. And hopefully, he might be praying to get sacked. We don't know that. Has anyone ever heard it from Lance's mouth that it's his dream to be an F1 driver. Because there are pushy parents out there.
So you think Lawrence Stroll is forcing him to race?
No. I'm not making accusations. I'm just speculating.
Okay, you're speculating that Lawrence Stroll is forcing him to race.
That is entirely possible at this point, and I think that's a fair assumption, given that he voluntarily ended his race.
Yeah.
Before the race begun, last race.
Let us know what your thoughts are on that. So are we saying
He's firmly, he's not underrated.
Okay, good. Okay, I look forward to the comments on that one. So, interesting news this week. Sauber have decided to get rid of Joel and Bottas. Obviously, the one for me that is more upsetting is seeing Bottas go. We kind of expected Joel to go. He's not really done anything in the sport, which has been a shame. And you could say, well, this car has been poor. Up until this point, he still hasn't really done... Up until this season, he hadn't really done much anyway, had he?
Yeah, I think it was a very fair move. Mm. You know, he's had more than enough time now, and...
Way more than some people get in F1.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is a shame. I mean, like, I know we have our opinions on different drivers, but it is always a shame when you see a driver lose their seat. Oh, you know, we even said that about Logan Sargeant, and I would say Zhou is no more deserving of a seat than Logan Sargeant, and that might seem harsh to some, but consistently finishing P20, you know, Bottas I think is extracting more from that car. You can see that.
Yeah. He's getting his car into Q2s, Q3s.
Yeah, you know, he's an older, more experienced driver. Bottas is someone I believe is hugely underrated. He's actually had a very good career. I saw a clip on Instagram saying that Bottas is actually, I think it's 28% of his races he's finished on the podium.
Mad.
Which, that's a great stat. And, you know, I think because he's had to endure his career in Lewis Hamilton's shadow, people forget how good he was at Williams.
Mm.
You know, there's a reason he got called up to Mercedes, and it certainly wasn't to be a number two driver.
No.
And then, you know, it was... I'm guessing that probably sucked the life out of him a little bit, that Mercedes stint. And then he kind of got dealt a really... bad hand with this sort of Sauber gig where the car's not been great since. But Joe does not deserve the seat. So I think, yeah, he's got to go.
No, I think it's always sad, isn't it? Like you say, whenever you see a driver lose their seat, one, especially with the likes of Joe, Logan Sargeant, Valtteri Bottas, you know that these drivers aren't going to get back into the sport again. And that's... Well,
Bottas is someone that I could potentially see, but yeah, Zhou and...
Logan Sargeant. And what's sad is actually, you know, these drivers, this is what they've built up to, you know. And you could argue the case that actually some drivers never even experience F1, so they're lucky that they've actually been able to experience it even for 2 or 3 years. But... to work for that's your dream, to get into the pinnacle, you know, motorsport of F1, and all of a sudden you lose that, and you know, we know that they're never going to get back into the sport again.
At least it's different for Bottas. At least he can look back and be like, wow, I actually had a sick career, you know.
Yeah,
won all those constructors championships with Mercedes,
great relationship with Lewis Hamilton, you know, you got to actually, you know, and they got on really well, like,
yeah he got, you know, he got to race alongside one of the GOATs, he got to win a good handful of races, stood up on the podium a lot of times.
Pole positions, you know, like all that.
But yeah, you look at someone like Zhou, or like Logan Sargeant, and yeah, they'll look back at their careers with regret, I think. And I hope they don't look back at it like their whole life with the regret, but certainly at this point they will. They'll be like, I wish I could have maximised that. I wish I had performed better. Because they will never get another opportunity. You know, Logan Sargeant will never be in an F1 car again. Guan Yu Zhou will never be in an F1 car again. And that's what they have to deal with now. But if I was in charge at Sauber, I would have done, I think, exactly what they've done, because I think they've made great moves.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Which obviously I imagine you're about to reveal who's stepping into the seat.
Yeah, it was announced Gabriele Bortoleto is now taking the other seat for the 2025 season alongside Hülkenberg.
We spoke about him
I'm very happy. You know, we've discussed a lot on this podcast F2, probably way more than we have over the other years. Mm-hmm. Bortoleto is leading the F2 championship at the moment. He's going to go on and likely win it. You know, he won F3.
Yep.
He's a really promising driver, and I'm really excited. He's 20 years old. You know, and we've touched on this before. We've got next year, we've got a lot of rookies. Ollie Bearman, Antonelli, Jack Doohan,
Bortoleto.
Maybe
Colapinto. Maybe
Colapinto. Yeah.
Who will be a rookie.
Yeah. You know,
Lawson
again. You know, so, you know, it's exciting. We're in this transitional period now of, you know, these youngsters coming through. And they're not here just to take part. They're here to prove themselves, and they're here to actually win. Yeah. And it's great. And I'm really excited, I think, for Sauber, getting the likes of Hülkenberg, I've said on this podcast before, I think is a superb signing. But to bring alongside Bortoleto with that, it's just brilliant. It really is brilliant. And I'm excited. I think Sauber will still struggle next year. But for 2026, when Audi come in, I really think they're in a good position.
Well, they'll be set up driver side.
Yeah.
But I will throw this back at you. Hülkenberg or Bottas?
Hülkenberg.
Reason?
I think Hülkenberg looks, and this, I may be wrong here, looks like he still has that desire and hunger,
yeah,
to go out there and perform at the maximum level he can. I'm not saying Bottas isn't, but I think Bottas has his other, you know, literally the day after he got dropped, he was doing an Ironman
didn't he?
You know, I think he's got other priorities. And for me, Hülkenberg this year alone has been phenomenal. He really has. Give him the car, he will deliver. And I still pick Hülkenberg over Bottas.
And this is my point of where I say that Mercedes stint probably firstly sucked a little bit of the passion out of him, but it also gave him the opportunity to achieve everything in the sport.
Yeah.
You know, very, very few drivers go on to win world championships, right? Bottas has achieved the second best.
Yeah.
So he probably then knew, leaving Mercedes, it's never getting better than that.
No.
And then obviously the Sauber story is the Sauber story, but he's probably in a position where he's like, well, I can round off my career very nicely. I've been a very good F1 driver. I've won races. I've, you know, done it all, like we said.
Yeah.
So yeah, whereas Hülkenberg still hasn't achieved that.
No, he still has it. And you see that in how he drives and his desire. And we all said, didn't we, with Magnussen, when Magnussen came in alongside Mick Schumacher, we're like, oh, you know, Magnussen is absolutely schooling Mick Schumacher, you know, showing exactly what he is. Then all of a sudden Hülkenberg came in and it was a whole new level. Hülkenberg just completely shone and just showed the class between him and Magnussen. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just a small margin, it was a big margin.
Yeah, it was.
So,
which ultimately led to K-Mag
losing his seat.
Yeah.
I mean, from a Bottas point of view, there's reports suggesting that actually he's going to be the Mercedes reserve driver for next year. Which, if true, and
makes sense, no?
Well, it does. I mean, he's going back to a place he knows well. You've got that type of experience and knowledge, and if you've got that for, you know, I suppose it's like when Danny Ric went back to Red Bull.
And you're taking that over Mick Schumacher, aren't you? I know Mick has a lot of fans, and he always seems like such a nice guy when you see him in interviews and stuff. But come on, we're taking Bottas as a reserve driver. All you need to do is ask yourself the question: who are you putting in your race seat, Bottas or Mick Schumacher? Well, Mick Schumacher will never drive an F1 again, right? I will stand by that, and I will eat a pair of dirty socks if he ever gets in an F1 seat again. Valtteri Bottas, there's every chance he could end up in an F1 seat again. So it makes complete sense for him to be your reserve driver as opposed to Mick Schumacher. But this is likely Mick's time in F1 really coming to an end.
It's sad. I find it really sad in the sense of Mick Schumacher was in the shadow of his dad and even his, you know, uncle, you know, Ralph Schumacher and Michael Schumacher.
They were big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and I suppose the first big thing is you've got into the sport. Well, that's an amazing achievement in itself. But it never materialised, did it? He had 2 difficult years at Haas. Was it 2 years or three? 2 years at Haas. Never, the car was rubbish. You know, it was during the period of COVID. It was just tough times.
Yeah, that 2021 season is not reflective of...
No.
And this, we've had this debate about Mazepin before where I said it's really harsh to judge him on that season.
And I think, for me... I agree with you. I don't think we're ever going to see Mick Schumacher back in the sport. And that's got to be really tough for him because he's got all these big shoes to fill. You know, his dad's a 7-time world champion. Ralph Schumacher, his uncle, was successful in the sport as well. And he's come in expecting to, you know, continue that legacy of the Schumacher name. And it's failed. It's been, in the nicest possible way, it's been a failure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he certainly hasn't... I mean, he didn't deliver like his dad.
No.
But did anyone ever expect him to?
No, but we had talks right at the beginning when he first came into the sport that actually there was reports of him going, okay, if he does well in Haas, then, you know, Ferrari may start looking at him. You know, they might get him back. And all of these stories were going out, and I know that was obviously what was going to happen and be linked to him. But
what's the word? It's like idealism, isn't it? It's where you're like, oh, what a sick story this would be.
Yeah.
You know, Mick Schumacher, legendary Michael Schumacher's son, comes into the sport, what, like 10 years after his dad retires or whatever it was. And then he works his way to the legendary Ferrari team. And then imagine he went on to win a world championship. Yeah, it's like... Because it's like a fairy tale, but he never ever showed the promise at the F1 level that he was ever going to be capable.
No, I find it sad. I find it sad. He's one of the drivers who I was probably kind of rooting for at the beginning.
Yeah, I think everyone rooted for Mick.
Sad that it didn't happen. Anyway, other news. Aston Martin's 2025 wind tunnel is showing some positive data.
But who reports on this?
I don't know. Don't know. Don't ask me. I'm just going by what it says. It says Aston Martin's latest wind tunnel data for the 2025 car is reportedly positive, raising hopes of strong season in the future. After an inconsistent 2024 season, their early indicators
could pace... 2023?
Yep. Well,
They started very strong and then it sort of all just went downhill from there.
Well, they're saying potentially, from what they're seeing, they could be higher up the table rather than being a mid-table team.
Nui involved yet?
No.
When's that from?
I think, if I'm correct, it's from January. It's from next year.
There's no way he's not like...
I may be wrong.
No, I know what you're talking about because there is actually like... Yeah, he's not meant to start for them officially.
He's on like gardening leave, isn't he?
Which, what does that mean, by the way? Who coined that term?
He's out doing...
The garden.
Garden, yeah.
There's no way that the boys aren't texting him. Just like, we came up with this. Adrian, what do you think? He's obviously letting them know. No, don't do that. Do this.
Deirdre's messaged me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's an interesting... I was thinking of taking my car in for the MOT. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on this.
And that is exactly what is happening. There's no way he's not involved in the process. I'm sorry. There's just not. Or like he's like, no, don't show me. Yeah, he's been shown and he's feeding back. It makes sense. So yeah, it probably is promise. Because now they've just got the next Red Bull. So I don't know. I'm all for it. Like I said, I want the most amount of cars competing at the top level. Yep. I'd hate it when it's one car. It's better when it's two cars. It's even better when it's three cars. It just gets better the more... You know, if all 10 cars were capable of winning a race, what a season.
Yeah.
So, Aston Martin, get in the mix because I'm there for it.
No, I agree. Headaches at Ferrari. So,
There's something going wrong.
Yeah, got a few migraines. So, having met the F1 practice requirements, Ferrari have... They've used their allocated slots. So Behrmann, because he's actually driven for Haas as well this year.
Oh, does that count?
It counts. Oh. So Ferrari now needs another rookie to fulfill their obligations for 2024. So Ollie Behrmann can't do any of the FP1 sessions because obviously he's driven Ferrari in Jeddah.
Yep.
He then drove for Haas in Brazil.
Yep. He also did the FP1 in... I will remember the track. I have forgotten the track. When Albon crashed into him.
Oh, in Mexico.
Yes.
Yes.
Literally just the other week.
Yeah. So, can you tell me who the possible candidate is for the reserve drive? Can you tell me who the possible candidate who could fulfill this obligation for the FP1 session?
Well, I believe it's Robert Schwartzman.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, who has done it before?
Yeah. He's previously filled in that position. Makes perfect sense. I mean, why not?
Yeah, it's kind of... I mean, like... Excuse my ignorance. I don't really know who else is part of Ferrari's academy.
No.
Or, like, you know, part of their... Under their umbrella. So, yeah. I don't really see why that doesn't make sense.
No. But apparently, yeah. It's a shame. We're going to see Ollie Behrmann again this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, for him, it's probably not a shame. I mean... He's got the better end of the stick here. Oh, do you know what I mean? He's got to... He literally got to... His first race in F1 was in a Ferrari. Yeah. Not many... do you know what? I'd actually love to know how many drivers have ever been able to say that. If there's someone out there watching this clip right now, has there ever been a driver who's been able to say that Ferrari... was their first team that they drove for. That was Ollie Behrmann's debut race in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Because it's not Charles Leclerc. You know, Michael Schumacher didn't start a Ferrari. Carlos Sainz didn't.
No.
I mean, Seb didn't. Fernando didn't. Kimi didn't. Pretty sure Barrichello didn't. Like, is there a driver that debuted at Ferrari?
Do you want me to Google Ferrari's first ever F1 driver?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean he... Right, other than the... Like, if it was the first race, that doesn't count. If it was the first F1 race to ever happen, it's not valid.
They started the season with supercharged Ferrari, with regular drivers being Alberto Ascaria and his mentor Luigi Villoresi. Yeah, there you go. 1950.
Okay, but in like sort of modern... Yeah, the modern era of F1, has anyone, other than Ollie Behrmann, made their debut at Ferrari?
There you go. Answer him question. Quick question about Ollie Behrmann. Will Ollie Behrmann succeed next year? Because you're quite sceptical, aren't you? You're on the fence. You're not necessarily sceptical, but you're on the fence here, aren't you, about whether you think he's going to actually do well?
Yeah, it's just, for the record, I hope he does. You know, fellow Brit. I said I always back the Brits. Other than Lando. No, I'm kidding. I just don't know. I do feel like the Brazil race worried me a little bit. And that's probably... You're going to be watching this and thinking that's really harsh. And that is really harsh. Because that was incredibly tough. The conditions were really bad. And, you know, we saw the most experienced drivers struggling. But... Yeah, I think a lot of it for me was like that kind of temperament and everything. And... I think it's going to be difficult going up against Hülkenberg. I also don't think Ollie Behrmann's shown enough in F2. But then, you know, you can counter that argument and be like, well, Colapinto didn't really either.
The car's not that great.
And then he got thrown in to the Williams and, like, he's blown everyone away. So it's too early to tell. Like I say, if I was in charge at Haas, would I have taken a bet on Ollie Bearman? Probably not. We've had this debate before as well, where we said, oh, he finished sixth in a Ferrari, which at the time was, you know, the second quickest car.
Yeah.
So I said, well, technically he's finished, you know, poorly, which is a really harsh judgment. He did really well. So I'm not taking that away from him, but I'm saying, like, well, obviously he finished sixth in a Ferrari. Like, you look how good that car was at the start of the season. Where else was he going to finish? So it wasn't going to be behind the Mercedes. It wasn't, you know, it was... It was kind of like a given that he was going to finish well. But I'll be rooting for him next season, you know, as he comes out in his Haas overalls. I'll be backing him.
Yeah, I hope he does well. Do let us know what you think. Will Ollie Bearman succeed next year? Other news, Red Bull expected to overlook Yuki Tsunoda. We've discussed on this podcast many times, we don't understand why. So apparently rumours suggest Red Bull may overlook Yuki Tsunoda for a promotion to their senior team despite his improvement with AlphaTauri's RB. The decision could affect Tsunoda's long-term role. So as we know...
What is his long-term role?
Well, his long-term role would be staying with RB. But as we know, Red Bull like to use that as
a talent pool.
So... I can't imagine Yuki Tsunoda will be one that, if he doesn't get into the Red Bull seat, he will stay for a long period of time at RB. Because you saw the likes of Pierre Gasly get to a point where actually there was no more progression from AlphaTauri at the time. He went to Alpine. So what does this mean for Yuki Tsunoda? Obviously, we know next year he'll be with RB. It doesn't look like he's going to get that Red Bull seat, which for me... It makes no sense. I've seen a lot of comments go, oh, well, he's, you know, his temperament, he moans too much. Well, I'm not being funny. The person who's heavily linked with this Red Bull seat is Liam Lawson. And he's trying to shithouse...
Half the grid. I'd also like to make the point that Red Bull's number one driver is Max Verstappen, who isn't exactly known for his manners over the radio. So... I think that's a poor argument. I think if the choice is Yuki or Perez, then unless there's something wrong with my brain, it makes complete sense to give Yuki the seat. I think the argument is that it's not. I don't think Yuki will ever get that Red Bull seat. We said that before. I would like to see him be considered at least for it. I think the rumours at the moment are actually suggesting that they want Colapinto.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Could you imagine being Yuki Tsunoda or Liam Lawson at this point and Colapinto getting the seat over you?
Yeah.
I mean, that is... I'd love it. I'm up for that. That is quality. But, I mean, not necessarily sure it makes complete sense to me, but
no,
I'm here for it.
Personally, I still think it's going to be Lawson.
I think Lawson will be racing at Red. Well,
we're saying that. Perez looks like he's got the whole Red Bull team.
Perez would bet every single dime in his bank account that it's going to be him.
That's true. We're sitting here going, yeah, well, one of them's going to be in a seat next year. Well, actually, Perez is the one who's in that seat next year, apparently. So we'll see what happens with that. But for me, Yuki deserves that opportunity.
I actually saw an article the other day that was saying Williams should be going to Red Bull and saying, look, why don't you take Carlos Sainz and we'll keep Colapinto on? Now...
But interestingly, did a post on this yesterday. Apparently, again, reports suggest Alpine are willing to drop Jack Doohan before he even starts his F1 career and try and get Colapinto in.
Yeah, by the way, that is the most fucked up thing ever. That that cannot happen.
That is an Alpine thing, though, isn't it? That is,
yeah, I'll be on Alpine hate watch if that happens. that cannot happen. You cannot give this guy a drive in F1 and then take it away from him.
I'm laughing because that would be the most Alpine thing to do.
It would be. I mean, you know what? It's when it comes from a team like that, you're like, fuck, that could actually happen. I just think I would want them to never, ever win a race. I know it's sport. I know it's like elite level sport and it's the pinnacle of motorsport. But please, Alpine, for the love of God, do not do that to me. That is just, it's not worth it. And, you know, Jack Doohan has been with the team for a while now, and I really would hate to see that.
Yeah, no, so would I.
What even happens in that scenario?
He goes back to being a reserve driver, I can imagine.
How do you tell your mates? Imagine they're like, no, we don't even want your reserve driver. We're actually just going to sack you. Well, that's it, because I'm fucked, because I'm going to have to spend all this money pretending to fly around the world for the rest of you, because I'm not telling my mates.
What would you say if you turned up? I tried to watch you in Bahrain, but you weren't on.
No, I was. they said my name wasn't politically correct or people couldn't pronounce it or something, so I had to change it. So now everyone refers to me as Franco Colapinto. And yeah, for some reason I have to pretend I'm Argentinian. That's exactly what... How can you... Oh my God, he's probably had like a huge party, had all his family over, had like a big dinner, probably taken his mates out, splashed a bit of cash on them. Yeah, I'd be pulling the receipts. I'd be like, mate, I need the money back for that champers we had the other night.
Well, that's what Nyck de Vries did, didn't he? Literally, he celebrated, partied, lost his seat after what?
Yeah, but at least he got the opportunity.
Yeah, true.
That is unforgivable. Alpine, please don't do that.
Right, so some historic tracks are at risk of coming off the F1 calendar.
Now, is this facts?
This is what reports are suggesting. So reports suggest that expiring contracts are for Spa, Imola and Sandford. Spa is always out there.
It's always like, oh, we might be losing Spa. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, they signed a contract.
Several classic circuits face expiring contracts, raising the possibility that fan favourite tracks like Spa and Imola may not return to the F1 calendar.
It's not going to happen.
So obviously there is other countries that are trying to get in. Obviously Argentina, Turkey, also vying for spots on the calendar.
I do like Turkey.
Yeah.
I do like the track there.
So obviously we have 24 races. We've had a lot of new additions of street circuits.
Get rid of some of them.
Yeah. So the change may mark a new era in F1, balancing classic circuits with fresh destinations. I would be gutted if we lost Spa. And there's two reasons to that. One, I went last year and it was class.
Didn't you go this year?
This year, yeah. I went this year and it was class. I loved the circuit. It is a classic. You can't get rid of Spa, okay? Imola, yeah, I wouldn't be too. But you got Monza. As long as you keep Monza, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to lose.
Yeah. Sandford.
Bring Mugello back.
Yeah.
What a track.
Hockenheim.
It's Hockenheim.
Hockenheim.
But yeah, that one as well. No, fundamentally, we cannot lose Spa. Spa is not leaving the calendar, right? Imola, well, now this is where it gets controversial because realistically, like, Imola is a historic track that should belong on the F1 calendar.
Yeah.
But personally, I wouldn't be too upset. Yeah. So long as they don't replace it with like a street circuit in fucking Taiwan or something. Like, can we just have like a proper track?
I would love to see Argentina back on the calendar.
Yes.
Turkey as well.
Turkey, I like. There are obviously rumours of South Africa.
Yeah, be great.
I can't believe we don't go to the African continent.
Yeah. No, that'd be great. I mean, there's certain ones. What ones wouldn't I mind getting rid of? Do you know what? I wouldn't mind getting rid of Baku. I'm not a fan of Baku.
Yeah.
Something about Baku I'm not really a massive fan of. And I know that's, before you get into it, I know it's not a classic. I'm just talking about circuits. I wouldn't mind. You know our opinion on Monaco. Get rid of the barriers. Make it more interesting.
But that came
up the other day with a clip we did. The stick we got on that clip was just class. Right, now that'd be too dangerous for drivers. Yes. No, what, really? Okay, well, yeah.
No, but the thing is, right, I don't like Monaco, but I do like the weekend of Monaco.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So I actually wouldn't want to get rid of Monaco, but I'm happy to firm the boring weekend.
All right, let's go. Let's quickly go through the tracks, okay? So Bahrain. Let's say keep or bin, okay? Bahrain.
Keep. I love Bahrain.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia.
Keep. It's one of the better new tracks, and it's a street track that is unbelievably quick.
I enjoy it. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Australia.
Yeah, like it.
Japan.
Yep. 100%.
See, Australia, I'd probably bin. I'm not a massive fan of the track. But that's just,
hey, look, this is opinions. Yeah. We've all got different opinions.
China. Keep. I like that track. Yeah,
that's a great track.
Miami, bin.
Bin.
Imola. Yeah, it could bin.
I wouldn't vote on a bin. I wouldn't say bin it, but if it got binned, I also wouldn't complain.
You wouldn't vote on a bin. I'm fighting on you, mate. Monaco. Keep just for the history.
Yeah, keep it for the traditions. Yeah.
Canada, keep.
Keep.
Spain, obviously, as we know, Barcelona is going to be going over the next couple of years because it's going to be going to Madrid.
Yeah, for another crappy street circuit. Yep. But keep.
I agree with you. Austria.
Bin.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I don't know. Bin it.
Silverstone.
Yeah, keep.
Keep. Hungary. I'd keep. I like Hungary.
I would be open to a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, I would take Mugello over Hungary.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Belgium, keep.
Yeah, keep.
Sandvoort.
Bin.
Bin. Monza, keep. Azerbaijan, Baku, bin.
Yeah. Bin. Again, that's probably one that I wouldn't vote to bin it, but if it got binned, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. Singapore, keep.
Keep.
Kota, I'd keep.
I really like Kota.
Mexico, it's not one that massively stands out for me. But again, if it got binned, I wouldn't be massively disappointed. But if you kept it, I wouldn't be like...
I would bin it, but I think the fans at Mexico are quality.
Oh yeah, 100%. I agree with you.
And I feel like we'd miss that.
Yeah. Brazil,
keep.
Vegas, well, if I'm going by what I saw last year, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I'd keep.
Yeah, but that is like, it feels wrong saying that, but I actually would keep it as well.
Qatar, keep.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that track.
Great track.
Abu Dhabi.
I never want to go back to that place.
I would bin it just because you ruined it for me in
2021.
Yeah.
And generally, just like aside, I don't really like the track. I don't think it's...
No.
Like...
It's not one that really stands out for me.
End at Brazil.
Oh, it could be class, wouldn't it?
Why can we not end it into like... It's always such a good race, man. And I'd like... We used to.
Yeah. No, it'd be class. But if there's tracks which I would replace them with, Argentina, South Africa, Turkey, Hockenheim, Portugal.
Bring Sepang back.
Yeah.
Grand Prix. Yeah. What a great track.
There's a lot of tracks on there you could bin and replace with some good ones again.
Yeah, yeah. You could bring some unbelievable tracks
back. But I do think Argentina, bringing them a track back would be key, would be class. I really do think that out of all of those ones, Argentina and South Africa would be class.
I would bring Malaysia back. I love that track.
Yeah, No, I don't disagree.
That would be, and obviously, but then Hockenheim.
What, the long straight down into the, well, long final straight bit of sweep round? Yeah, no.
You just come back on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I don't know, it's a shame. I know we've spoken about this before and it's not a topic we're going to go into now, but we've lost so many great tracks for these essentially commercial opportunities to go to, whether it's the States and, you know, Miami. Let's be real, that Miami track is awful. It is awful.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas one, okay, it was a spectacle and the racing was actually quite good there.
Well, you had what? Charles Leclerc dive bombing it on Perez on the final lap, and
I just don't like these tracks. I just don't like how they're designed anymore.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't think whatever we say on here is going to make any difference, and we're still going to continue to. It's money, isn't it?
They might listen.
Oh yeah. That's basically all the news.
Yeah.
Can I finish on a quick quiz for you?
I'm really good at these. So
yeah. Well, I did this with you probably a couple of months ago.
I've definitely forgotten everything.
Yep. And there was a couple. I had a message the other day saying, "Oh, have you re-quizzed Luke on this?" And I was
meant to brush up?
Well, yeah. So, the driver's numbers.
Oh, shit.
So, play at home. So, basically, I'm going to read out some numbers. You tell me what number they link to which F1 driver.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Number one.
Max.
Okay. Number 16.
Charles.
Good. 2 out of 2. Well done. Number 4.
Lando.
3 out of 3.
Let's just stop it there.
Yeah. Number 55.
Sainz.
Number 14.
Alonso.
Oh, you're doing all right here. Number 27.
27? Who's picked 27? Voluntarily. 27. Pinto.
No, Hülkenberg.
Yeah, that's who I meant.
Yeah. 81.
Oh, that's Piastri.
It is. Number 63.
George.
Number 11.
Number 11. Checo.
Yep. Number 22.
Maybe that's Colapinto.
No, 22 is Sonoda.
That's who I'm in.
Yeah. Number 18.
I feel like that's maybe Lance Stroll.
It is, yeah. Number 10.
I want to say Gasly.
Yeah, well done. Number 23.
Albon.
Yeah, you're actually not doing too bad. Good. You're doing all right. Number 20.
Oh God, 20. I've got no idea.
K Mag.
Oh, I was gonna say K Mag.
Number 31.
Ocon.
Yep, well done. Number 30.
What? Who else is left? Number 30, Joe?
Nope, Lawson.
Lawson.
Number 24.
Joe?
Number 77.
Valtteri.
And finally, number 43.
Well, that's got to be Colin.
It has got to be Colin. Well done. That's a lot better. A lot better. So, guys, I think that is the end of the podcast. Interestingly... And I'm just looking at this now. Apparently, Sauber boss Mattia Binotto had admitted that Mick Schumacher was a strong candidate for a seat at Kick Sauber, with the team having held talks with him before ultimately deciding on Gabriel Bortoleto.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's a strange one. Mm. I mean, that's probably why Ferrari got rid of him. But... No, I mean... Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's one bit of news which I have. Oh, mate, I need to talk to you about this. And this kind of triggered me. And I thought it's on that note, but you've deleted it off the notes.
My bad.
Yeah. Andrea Stella has said that McLaren's focus was never the drivers' championship and it was always the constructors. And that was their priority throughout the season. That, sir, is a lie. Because if that was your priority throughout the whole season, right, you wouldn't be asking for team orders. You wouldn't be saying to give places back. You would be literally just going, keep your positions, drive the way you want to do. There's no, you know, first choice here. We're only going for the constructors. I think that might be a lie.
Yeah. Well, it's very much like not being invited to the party and then being like, didn't want to go anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, you did.
Obviously, we know Lando missed out his chance in Brazil. Max will go in and win it most likely in Las Vegas.
Do you know, I think the problem was is that they were actually too indecisive in what they were going for. Mm. I think they've probably flip-flopped between, you know, going, helping Lando get the World Drivers' Championship and actually just ensuring that they get P1 in the Constructors. Because initially they didn't employ team orders. Hungary, for example. Well, okay, I know they did, but like the team orders could have just been like, no, Lando is staying ahead. And that's what's caused Lando the issues other than himself.
Yeah.
But if you've got a driver winning the World Drivers' Championship, there's every chance that you're in it for the Constructors. Now, no. We know how strong Piastri was or has been this season, right? They should have done everything in their power to ensure that Lando had the best opportunity to win this championship. Now, I know Lando has thrown a lot of this away himself. That is fine. But the team has often not been the best in reacting to these situations. So I feel like that's just a bit of a stupid thing to say anyway. Like, it doesn't really... I'm not sure what the point is.
I understand the constructors, yeah, is obviously going to be your main priority because you haven't won it in years. So actually for a team like McLaren to win the constructors, that's incredible. But Lando Norris, from his win back in Miami, that McLaren car from there was basically the number one car for the remainder of the season. And as a team and as drivers, they haven't done enough to go on and win the Drivers' Championship. Mm-hmm. So it's all right saying now that you're not going to get the Drivers' Championship, that, oh, yeah, it was never our priority anyway. Well, it was, because, as I said earlier, if it wasn't your priority, you wouldn't be doing team strategy. You wouldn't be doing papaya rules or something?
Yeah. And can I just level with him here for a second? If you want to know how much more important a Drivers' Championship is as opposed to a Constructors' Championship, just look at the reactions after Abu Dhabi 2021.
Yes.
Red Bull got P2 in the Constructors. Mercedes won the Constructors. However, Max Verstappen clinched the title with the help of Michael Massey. And look how the team celebrated. I can guarantee that team would be celebrating harder if they got P2 in the Constructors, but Lando won that championship.
Yeah. 100%.
However, they were on the path to do both.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do let us know on that one. So that is the end of the podcast. So hopefully you've actually enjoyed this podcast. Hopefully you've actually enjoyed it, unlike you.
We really hope you have.
Check us out on all social media. We'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. But yeah, keep up to date. We'll be posting content day in, day out. So keep an eye on that. Luke, have a good week. Filming Waffling this week.
Yep. Up on Wednesday.
Nice. Enjoy. And yeah, have a good week. And we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.